Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. For my name's sake hast thou labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come together. You've given us this wonderful family. Please, dear Lord, that you will touch the hearts and the lives of those that are unable to be with us today, and allow them to read their word, to hear good teaching and preaching. Please, dear Lord, between the radio and there are some good preachers that you can find on the television. If you can't be here, it certainly does not replace the church. But it does, for those that cannot get out, give them a time and an opportunity to hear your precious word. And so please, dear Lord, today help them to be fed and help them to take time to spend with you. And now that we have come, we're here, we're coming to hear from you. And so please, bless those that are here, speak to their hearts, speak to my heart, teach us your way and will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have looked at this church of Ephesus. We have spent time looking that it is seven. There are seven churches here that the Lord has brought before us, and those seven churches are going to give us a picture of seven time periods throughout history. Right now, we are in, without question, the last church age, the Laodicean church. And so here we have the first church, the church of Ephesus. And we have looked at the first two verses, and we've even looked at the third verse. We're going to begin there. I've got some verses of Scripture that we're going to look up, so please keep your Bible handy. And God says, Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, that thou hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted, that third verse tells us. And if we look now here into James, we're not far into your back into your Bible there. Look to James chapter 1, Hebrew, James chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 4. We'll just read verse 3 in the middle of it there. It'll be fine. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Back in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, thou hast borne, thou hast patience. The patience of this church, the persistence of this church, the zeal that this church possessed was God-pleasing. We know when we get down to that fourth verse that there was something that God wasn't pleased with. But for us to look there in James and realize that the trials that they faced were very difficult trials, and yet they faced them, they held, they bore it, as it says here, and it is quite a a work to stand true when everyone around you seems to be going another direction, and particularly when Satan had such a stronghold in this area. For them to come and to stand solid, we need to praise them. Now, if you kept your hand in James, you'll find Hebrews very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look at the first verse of this book, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, a verse that you're probably very familiar with. For seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's two words there that's kind of a question, run and patience. We need to be busy and yet to have patience. And in looking those words up, the word run there in Hebrews 12:1 means to have course. To have course, to have a direction. And so we need to seek the will of God and to carry it out. And then patience there is a cheerful endurance. And so, again, run in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is to have course or to run. And then patience there is to be have a consistency, but have a cheerful endurance. In other words, just keep on keeping on and do it with a joyful heart. Some days are just as smooth as can be, and other days are just as rough as can be. We have a God that will carry us through each and every day. And so we need to be persistent despite the troubles and the trials, the temptations that face us every day. We need to continue to be persistent. We need to continue to set our course. We need to continue to do it in a cheerful way. And the only way we can do that is to seek the Lord's will and to seek His help. And so this church here, as we look at the church of Ephesus, has borne, has patience, for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. I have one more verse of Scripture, and it's back in Isaiah that I want to look at before we leave this verse of Scripture. And so please go to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read a couple of verses there. Isaiah chapter 40. We come here to study the Word of God, to look at these verses of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to begin with verse 29 and read down through the end of this chapter. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. Look at these beautiful verses of Scripture. And when I found this as a cross-reference, I thought this is the church of Ephesus. It should be our church. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful verse of Scripture, a Scripture that maybe we should read on a regular basis. No matter how strong and how young you are, you still wear yourself down and you become weary and without strength. But when we walk with the Lord, He will give us the adequate strength to do whatever deed He calls us to do, and He will carry that out. And so please, don't forget that verse of Scripture. Now, that word wait there in chapter 30 and verse 31, he that wait upon the Lord, that word means to look and look patiently and to expect. And so we look at that word wait. It means to expect, and it means to look to Him and just patiently wait. And so what a wonderful verse of Scripture. These good folks at Ephesus, they bore their troubles, in other words, carried them. They opposed false doctrines. They labored hard to get out the gospel. All that work they did. One of the greatest abilities a man mentioned is a dependability. And so if you want God to use you and bless you, be useful or be dependable. And so this church had the faithfulness, the persistence in the will of God, despite the difficulties and the disappointments that they had. And yet they found that these blessings come. Now, we come, though, with all that the praise that God has given these people, we find a problem. And that problem is in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You have left your, as if you remember 3 weeks ago, I gave the example of the two ladies that worked together. One went away and had a family, and one stayed at work. And if you remember that story, if you don't, why, I can get the tape for you. But the honeymoon, the sweetness seems to be over when it comes to the relationship that these people have with Jesus. The honeymoon, the sweetness seems to be over. What they had in their Christian life when they were first born again seems to have slipped away. And that joy and that excitement and that anticipation seems to be gone. And Jesus is speaking to these folks about that. They didn't lose their first love. They left their first love. They left it. Did they leave it intentionally? No. Why did they leave it? Why would you leave the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you leave someone that you love so much? Is it because sometimes we begin to take each other for granted? We take our Lord for granted? We do not remember what great work that He did in my heart when He saved me and He took my sins away. What a glorious day that is, the day that you trust Jesus as your Savior, that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You look back to that cross, the cross where Jesus died. And all we need to do is ask Him into our heart to save us. It is that simple. We don't have to turn, pay so much money to gain salvation. We don't have to give so much money to keep salvation. It's a free gift. Jesus loves us so much. Why would we ever fall away from such love? Get busy. The world consumes our time, and we get busy with these things and these things, and all of a sudden, unaware, we have left our Lord. We have taken advantage, we have neglected our Lord and Savior, as people do. People become kind of lazy, and they stop loving and caring as they should. They just expect it, and it'll just be there. And if you remember the story from a couple of weeks ago, we went from leaving first thing in the morning with a hug and a kiss and I can't wait to see you, laboring all day, having supper ready, and anxiously waiting at the door for the arrival of the husband to show their love and show their thankfulness and their, again, their great love for each other, to a yell from upstairs, "Is that you?" And it's so sad that we can see that in our lives. But worse than that happening in a relationship is when that happens with our God. When that happens with our God, that we begin to take advantage and we just kind of set him aside and everything else is more important. We need to be busy in doing service. We need to do our duty. But when we do it without the love of Christ flowing through us, without that constant sense of God's presence, then we begin to lose that love. And the way that a love is lost is that the communication is lost. We're not visiting, we're not fellowshipping, we're not looking to his word. And so that love begins to grow cold. And it always begins with a lack of communication. This church, the Church of Ephesus, you know, they're to do it for the love of God. Their service, their work. They were doing the work and the service, but the love was gone. It was they just had done it so long. And so that's what they did. You know, why do you come to church? Do you come to church to hear the living word of God? To see other believers, to watch them grow, to hear of salvation has come? To be strengthened by others and you strengthen others? Or do you come out of habit? That's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, it's time to go to church. If you don't come because you desire with your heart to come and you just want to be here and you're just not going to miss, then I'm afraid that we've fallen into this category that the love's gone. The love has left you. This church, they were doing the work, but they were no longer doing it for love. Were they doing it for honor? Were they doing it for money? What were they doing it for? They were doing it, but not for the right reason. They worked hard. The scripture said they labored in patience. They hated evil. Yet in all that, they still departed. They left this love. Does your heart seem cold from what it used to be? God didn't leave you. The Holy Spirit's right in your heart. You left him. And every one of us have done it. Every one of us. And you know the saddest thing is that when times are going well, that's when we seem to abandon him quicker. How come? Why doesn't our heart praise him because everything is going well? Only when things begin to collapse and fall is then we get back to being serious about studying his word and praying to him and asking for his leadership and his direction. This church had left their first love. And this love in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 is the first word listed in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the first. It's the necessary. We know that this church of Ephesus, because Paul tells us back in Ephesians 1:15, that you have a love unto all the saints. And you see, that's something else that is evident that love has left you, is when you don't start caring and loving and lifting each other up. And that comes when we kind of get self-consumed with ourselves and with what's going on. Then we begin to abandon. We're not praying for each other. We don't care about each other. It's just me. And we kind of get my disease. It seems as though that this love has grown cold. But the Word of God tells us to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. The Scripture says we ought to remember in everything give thanks. Hebrews 12:2, the joy set before him endured the cross. We need to remember these things. When a church or an individual departs from the love that they possessed from their new birth when they were born again, that church or individual will begin to slip farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. No, you won't lose your salvation. God is doing the keeping. He's the keeper. But we get so busy that we stop praising Him and honoring Him. We should have a love to live and to tell, to talk about Jesus to those that were around. As the Lord brings us down a street or down in a certain situation, we should always be ready to ask them their relationship with Jesus. Do they know the Lord Jesus? So sad. They've left their first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That honeymoon sweetness is gone. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It should always stay. And it can. He saved you. But we need to be walking, fellowshipping, praying with Him, that love will be in us and we're able to give it then to others. Given instruction here in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Remember. Think back. We have the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the purpose. Remember what He has done for you. Remember how He died on the cross for you. And here we need to remember back to that day we trusted in Jesus and that wonderful walk of life started. And the word repent means to return. And so, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The removal of this lampstand, this light, has nothing to do with salvation. An individual saved, an individual's kept by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the lamp that shines should shine here, should shine in every church so bright, because we come seeking the Lord's will and the Lord's power and the Lord's strength. Every church in this region, all seven churches now, have basically fallen to a control of Mohammedism. I mean, that's what's there and present now. And so there is very little light left in any of those places or those churches. The lamp has went out. That love has left. And once the love leaves you and you don't bring it to your generation, the next generation, to your offspring, if I lose that love and I stop caring for souls and I don't tell my children, my grandchildren about the Lord Jesus Christ, then that next generation will be raised and they'll be as godless as you can imagine. Do you just leave it to any individual to hopefully come by and tell your children, your grandchildren about Jesus? Just hope that that's what'll happen? You know, there's two sides here. We lose the love of Jesus, but that love is there, and when that love comes and His wisdom comes, that should instill in us the home of the lost. Show us where they're going to go. They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We have got to get the gospel out. And not only just to win our children and our grandchildren, but we need to get the gospel out that then that generation will win the next. What hope does the next generation have? What family did you come out of? Did the family raise you in a Christian home? Did your parents tell you about Jesus and have the joy of bringing you to a Bible-believing, soul-winning church that comes and you hear the gospel and you hear the word presented? Did you enjoy that as a young person? I know most of you didn't. Few of you enjoyed that, but most did not. We had to wait till we were adults before we knew Jesus. Half of our life was gone before we had the chance to really live and praise our God. Do we want our children and grandchildren to face that? To stumble around just by chance that they'll have someone tell them about the gospel? Isn't it more important that somebody that loves them tells them? This lampstand is going to be pulled out. This lampstand is going to be taken. And the question we have right now, and that is, what kind... The sad thing is, most of the time he just wants to play the piano. That's what he wants to do. And so... that's about the maddest I've ever heard him be. That's gets his temper from his mother, doesn't he? That you know, the religion that we have in this land was started under the basis of Christianity. And we have left that. There was some words, Dr. A.J. Gordon, this was many years ago, but he went into the city of Boston, and it was a destitute of spiritual life. And he called it the ecclesiastical corpse. That's what he saw in the churches. They were an ecclesiastical corpses living in caskets lined with fine satin, silver handles with abundant flowers around. That's what this spiritual man saw when he went into the city of Boston many years ago. Now, you could probably go into almost every city in the United States and see and say the same thing. Oh, they had their beautiful buildings and their beautiful furnishings, and you have the beautiful flowers and everything around, but it's dead. It's dead. And he looked at that, and I thought, what an example, as a corpse laying in a casket. That's exactly what most churches today, the condition they're in. They're dead, and they're coming into what's called a church, but it's a casket waiting for burial. And at burial, of course, their home is going to be in hell. We need to repent and return. If you have left that first love, please. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Look for Him. Ask Him please restore. Help me. I want that love back. I want that wisdom that you offer us. I need that. I want that. And so please be asking for it. This sixth verse, it talks about the Nicolaitans. Thou hate the Nicolaitans, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, not the Nicolaitans. They're people that need salvation. And that's the same thing with us. No matter what church, wherever people go, we don't want to be cold towards them. Their doctrine is dead, but the person, we need to come and ask the Lord Jesus that he will move into that church, and with a special power and strength of the Holy Spirit, that he'll save them and that they'll come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But many churches started out with the gospel, but they have left it. And so today there is no one there to present the gospel. They go to church and they come home. They hear a social gospel and they come home. And that's all that's present. This Nicolaitans, you break the word down, it's to mean conqueror and the people or the laity. And they hated what was taking place at the church of Ephesus. We'll have another church you're going to find here very shortly that they brought in the Nicolaitans. They didn't have a problem with them. But what it was, it seems through history, that it's a setting up of certain men to rule over the ordinary, the believers, the laity of the church. And this possibly is the beginning of the Catholic Church, the priest's line and their intercession, you know. And so whether you are a priest or bishop or the pope or whatever position, they have taken now that place that you have to go to them and then they go to God. Well, that's not so. We need to realize and recognize that every born-again believer is a priest, and not just a priest, but according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a royal priest. And so we have the opportunity. Every believer is invited to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies. We have that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25, if you'd like to read that later this afternoon. There is no special persons within the church of the living God. Everyone can go unto the Lord God, can confess their sin, can enjoy a wonderful fellowship, and you don't need to go through an individual. You know, God appoints under shepherds to care for the flock, to feed the sheep, and to keep out the wolves. But we need no one to listen to our confessions. We confess our sins unto the Lord God through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to look to him in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can go unto God the Father at any time once you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. This seventh verse now, and we'll close quickly here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We're changing here. We're leaving the group, the church, and we're going to an individual. And it says, he that hath an ear. And so hopefully it'll be the whole group, but it's speaking to an individual here, or at least to a very small group or groups. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You know, the individuals are commanded. You and I are commanded to turn unto the living God, to fellowship with him, to depend upon him, to ask him for wisdom, to ask him to forgive us. All these things we can do and we need to do. And here the Lord Jesus is calling on this church to do just that. If you have an ear, let him hear. In other words, are you listening? Has the Word of God touched your heart in any way? Has it strengthened you today? Has it lifted you up today? Has it given you the strength you need to carry out the duties of today and tomorrow if the Lord gives it to us? Again, we are invited to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies. And as we come back to the tabernacle tonight, well, I hope that you enjoy that study. You know, we've looked at the cross through the Resurrection Sunday and the week prior to that. And tonight, well, we're going to be looking at the joy that we have because of the cross or that brazen altar that's out front. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. In most churches, God is left out, and they expect a man to represent them to God in some way, shape, or form. My friend, he that hath an ear, let him hear. To him that overcometh, I give to eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh, salvation's free. But rewards are earned. And he that overcomes, he that stands true to the Word of God, he that has a love of Jesus, and when it's left, he brings it back. He just keeps staying close to the Lord and walking with his power and with his strength. Those that stand true are given special privileges. All will be in heaven. There are levels of hell and there are levels of heaven. There are great things to do in heaven that the Lord will give to those that are faithful, and there are degrees of hell to those that have heard the gospel many times and have neglected and rejected it, and they will be held responsible in their way. But do you realize to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life? What a personal touch that we have right there. Who is going to give us that tree of life to have? A tree of life that was taken away from Adam and Eve, and it's going to be returned and restored for you and for me that are blood bought by the precious blood of Jesus. What a day. Eat of the tree of life, an opportunity, again, that was taken from Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God, will be returned. It will be restored. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day. Please, as we go through these seven churches, when you look each one into our hearts and see where we are today and where we want to be tomorrow, if the Lord gives it to us, we should always be busy about his work. He will give us the strength and power to do it. Now let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and we can spend this time together praising you and rejoicing together. I thank you, dear Father, that your power and your strength is here. Your saving power is here. Your changing power is here. For all of us that leave, you allow us to come back. We are not kept away. All we have to do is come back to you, depend upon you, talk to you, fellowship with you, look to your word for strength and power. Please, dear Lord, that love be present in all of us. That we go about to do our daily chores and not missing an opportunity to share the gospel with someone that inquires or that you open the door for, dear Lord. It's not something we force. It is always, Father, that you open the door. But when we go prayed up, when we go praying for that soul, the day, the door is different. The day is changed. And so it just, please, dear Lord, you know that the steps, the places that we're going to be in the next days. And if you give those days to us, then please, that you will allow us to be a witness for you and be a lighthouse for you, and that we'll have it and inhabit in your love and your power and your strength. What a joy that we have. And so we are working until you come to get us. And we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the strength that you've given us, and we thank you for salvation that you have given to each one that's here, if you know the Lord Jesus, and to those that we know and love, that we have talked to, that they have trusted in Jesus. Oh, dear Father, what a wonderful day. And please, as we sing this closing hymn, this hymn of invitation, just allow these ears to continue to hear your words and be strengthened by you, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.